Welcome to the Discipleship Pathway Podcast. Our podcast exists to help people take their next step in Christ. Every disciple needs a plan in following after Christ. The road's not easy. The road's not always clear. Our hope is to provide simple resources to help people on the journey along the way.
Welcome back to the Discipleship Pathway Podcast, helping you take your next steps in Christ. I'm Chris Kurtz, pastor of Mobilization at Anthem, and I'm here with Matt Dennings. Today, we're continuing to walk down through the steward script. So if you've listened to the previous episode, we've given a little bit of an overview of what is the steward script, why did Matt and bring in some others, and I'm like helping develop this content, why is it important? And we've looked at vision, we've looked at priorities, and we've looked at planning. And now we're going to take a look at action. Rubber meets the road. This is where we're going. So I'm going to bounce it over to Matt and let him introduce today's topic.
Yeah, so once you're at this place, now you need to actually implement. Right? You've thought through it. You've kind of discerned. And now we're actually enabling and implementing. Without that, your plan will fail. And so action is, at the end of the day, always key. And again, we're like, wait, we just did three steps. Well, a lot of that was thinking. A lot of that was writing it down. A lot of that was with a legal pad. And now you actually are going to confront resistance to this happening.
Yep.
Because you're going to do it in real life. And so this is a key step at this point. And there are a lot of things in our world now that I think even more so than ever are going to make it really hard to actually implement, take action.
So I notice here, like, you have the importance of action and then the frenemy of action.
Frenemies. You ever had a frenemy? Somebody who you think is your friend but you find out it's really your enemy. The frenemy of action is distraction. Okay? So distractions, things that grab our attention and make us feel like they, so let me get it. How does a frenemy lures you in?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we live in a world where when we have moments where we don't have a plan, we're not working it out, we don't have direction in our lives, we don't have purpose, we're struggling with meaning. So in order to cover up that sense of purposelessness, that sense of maybe a little bit of depression, a little bit of aimlessness, we cover it up by being distracted by, you know, entertained, numbed.
Yeah.
And so the frenemy is the thing that lures you in. Oh, and you feel good. Oh, I feel good for a moment because I kind of got a little bit of humor and I forgot about the fact that I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I had a moment where it was like, tonight I didn't have to be alone with my thoughts. I didn't have to spend that time sitting there across from my spouse knowing we haven't invested in how to connect.
Yeah.
There are things that distract us from where we really are and how we really are. These are frenemies. They are not really friends. They're enemies dressed up like friends.
Yeah.
And again, this isn't to say that having a moment of laughter or watching a movie or, you know, yeah, maybe illicit drug use. Don't do it. But, you know, that's bad. But these things aren't, they're not bad in and of themselves. The issue is, it's a whole different thing if you have like, man, this is where I'm making these investments. I'm growing in these ways. Incrementally, I'm taking these steps and I'm seeing kind of fruitfulness in my life in places I've never seen. And then, yeah, then at night, my wife and I are sitting down watching a movie and laughing. I went on Instagram and I looked at some reels and I'm laughing. But the thing is, we often go there to escape rather from the fact that we're not making forward. We're escaping from the life we're meant to steward.
Yeah.
Rather than that being something that is just part of, we're stewarding our lives and now it's a moment of reprieve.
Yeah. Yeah. What I hear is almost like delighting versus distracting. Like one is like, hey, I'm doing this. I'm enjoying a movie night with my wife. We're delighting in this together versus, hey, we're just doing this to distract. Work's busy. I'm tired. we got in a fight. I don't really want to talk to her right now. Let's kick on a movie, whatever that might be. So I feel like that's kind of the dichotomy you're hitting a little bit with enjoyment of things. It's like these aren't all just bad things. Kick them out of the room. But how can you actually interact with these in a healthy way?
Yep. And that's good. You should have written this section. That was well put. Because the other thing, one is where we're subconsciously, what I'm saying is we're subconsciously, I do this. I'm not saying you, I do this. We do this. I found I do this a lot in all kind of, I can do this. Well, I'm not, there'll be a rabbit trail, but I can do this with things that look like work.
Yeah.
You know, I'm largely with my job, a lot of it's kind of like developing strategy, content. That's a lot of what I'm doing. Well, I can do that by distracting by, oh, what's this theory over here? What's this new book? Or what's that I need to be? No, maybe I don't need to really focus on that right now. I'm just distracting from the fact that writing this next section is hard, right? Writing that sermon is hard. And so I'm distracting myself, right? Having that, you know, whatever your thing is, it's a lot harder to actually follow through on that, right? So it's easy to distract. But the other thing is, your life is not going to accidentally drift into getting these things done. The other friend of me is just the fact that things will fill your schedule.
Yep.
If you don't schedule things, they're not going to get done. So the other thing is that you do have to make that time and that space. One of the passages that we go to and I love teaching on is how Jesus in Mark 1, and this is one of the places where it's really described, but you see this throughout Scripture, where Jesus goes to be alone with his Father. If Jesus, the Son of God, was in perfect communion with his Father, his Heavenly Father, had to go early in the morning, away from before everything gets busy, away from his friends, and be alone with God, if he made that space, then I think we probably need it too.
Yeah.
You know, and what happens and why this is key is it's a pivotal point at the end of Mark 1 where Jesus then, they say, hey, once his disciples find him, right? They come and they find him. Where is he? And this is like, this is why I'm out here, right? And they come and they find him. And they're like, we need to go here. The people are looking for him. We need to go over here. And he goes, no, actually, we're going on to the next village. He had clarity about what to do.
That's good.
Because he had made that space and that time. And so not only does it allow you to do the things you need to do, but oftentimes that's the thing that allows you to know the next best thing you're supposed to do. With that, what this then walks you through is just how to really incorporate this vision plan into your schedule. So that's most of what this lays out, is just how to move towards what would be a way of scheduling, which is called block scheduling. So, but anything you want to comment with that?
No, I think I would just, if you're thinking about this, like, you know, when you read books, sometimes there's a little block that like requotes this. I would almost want to requote, if you don't schedule it, it won't get done. Like you're not going to naturally just fall into these priorities. Like these things have to be put into your schedule. Rachel and I, we have to schedule our date nights. We have to get that in there. I have to schedule my time with the Lord in the morning because I don't naturally fall into those things. So I would almost just like want to re-highlight that again of like, we have to schedule these things. And I think this is helpful for doing that.
So one of the things that's in the book or the digital, whatever we want to call it, the materials, is there's going to be an ideal week template. So I'm going to walk through like how do you, and by the way, this will walk you through not just incorporating these things into your life, but kind of zooming out to your whole schedule. So there are some pages in here that give you a full, kind of like a blank week if you were to open up a planner. And it's just a blank Monday through Sunday with times from 6 a.m. all the way down to 10 p.m. And it gives you that breakdown hour by hour where you're able to block out, okay, what are the things in my life? What should fall into different things? You know, there's the old Dave Ramsey thing, tell your money where it should go. This is telling your time where it should go.
Yep.
Okay. Now, let me say this at the outset. This is an ideal week template. Okay. So this is what you're aspiring to. When you do this on the back end, you go, wow, I kept to my ideal week like 70, 80%. That's great. Like this isn't something that you can, when you tell your time where to go, things are going to come in, right? Like again, if you're going to have rich relationships in your life, there are going to be things that come into your life. Emergencies come. There are real urgent things that are actual urgent and important that come up.
Yep.
They will have to come into your schedule, right? So you want to make room for that. However, what this does is that allows you to know, okay, like for instance, for me, a lot of times I'm working from home. I've had to live off this because let's say during the summer when my kids aren't in school, they know where I'm working in the office and what hours. It's one thing for my kids to have something that comes up, knocking on the door, coming in. Hey, Dad, can you do this? Can you play? You know, every now and then I'll be like, you know what? I'm just going to take 15 minutes and I'm going to throw the ball with my son.
Yeah.
Like, great. Those are going to be core memories. You know, you just have that sense of times. But if every single day he's coming in going, hey, Dad, you throw a ball. And then after a while, I'm like, oh, I went like 3 weeks. I never wrote a sermon. Now I've got to show up and do stuff or never had these meetings. And I just play baseball all day. Well, yeah. Now we got an issue, right? So we know that there's something where it's like you want to be interruptible. But at the same time, there are ultimate priorities you need to get to, if that makes sense. So this is going to help you know when maybe you're just not getting to things or if. Also allows you to know, like, you know what? I've got time tomorrow again for this, or I've got until 3 o'clock today, and right now I can take 15 minutes and take a break, right? So it allows you just to know where your time is going and be aware, which I think actually allows for those interruptions better. This doesn't protect you or keep people from interrupting you, but actually it allows you to know what's a good interruption. So what's worthwhile? So that's just to say it up front. So the process is structuring an ideal week with time blocking. Is that blocks, these are blocks of time. Think of it this way. You have different blocks of time, 2 hour, 3 hour, 4 hour chunks of time that define your day. And these blocks are times when you say this block of time is for this specific thing. And so there could be, and it's helpful first to think of your day almost in terms of like three, maybe let's start with three primary blocks. Where it's like, okay, you have your morning, you have your afternoon, then kind of evening. It tends to be that two of those are for work, one of those is for personal time. And let's say these are 3-4 hour blocks. And so that's for somebody who's working full time or whatnot, but it's just helpful to kind of start. I'm going to give a few different ways you can approach this, and for different individuals, it'll be different. So obviously, let's say that you work a 9-to-5. Well, from 8, because let's say that's when you start transitioning the work or whatnot, 8 to noon, and then from like 1 to 5, those are blocks of time that are, hey, I'm a, I work in the office, I'm a data, you know, I'm doing something with data, or data, like developing technology. I'm going to be at my desk doing that, right? So that's work time. It's blocked off for that. But maybe the evening from 5 till 9, that's a 4 hour block that's going, okay, every night of the week, I have that time. How am I going to choose to invest that time? My day starts very early. I'm an early person. And so I have a block before 8 a.m. And so I have a block that goes from essentially from about five, until about 9, and then I go from 9 to 1, and I go 1 to 5, and then I go from 5 to 9, and I'm trying to usually get to bed because I'm up early. And so I've blocked it out where those are primary areas where like that early block is my like where it's like getting to the gym, exercise. I'll listen to things that are more like, yeah, sometimes it's like I'm on the treadmill, I'm listening to like what's going on in NBA, like sports podcast. Sometimes I'm listening to lectures. Sometimes I make phone calls. While on the bike, and I'm calling friends and catching up. Then when I get home, I have time in the Word, and then I have a little bit of time with my kids when they're waking up. And so it's over time evolved to that. And so that's kind of personal time for those things. And then I have now several days a week, it's writing time where I'm working on for my job. There's a lot of content, things like this, where I'm writing and producing content. Okay, because that's one of the goals for in my personal story script is to write so many things and start developing content. And so I'm spending time on that. And then in the afternoons, you know this, because we've moved a lot of our meetings for different days of the week to the afternoon because I'm a morning person. So I need to write in the morning. For years, I never had that free. And I always wrote in the afternoons when I was dead. So even this, we're recording in the morning on purpose. because my mind is just operates better in the morning. And then the evening, that's time where I more have kids sports, community group. That's when I'm getting together with, like tonight, I'll get together with somebody from church. I'm going to link up with somebody while we're at my kids' track practice. It's more family time and just relationships, friendships, yep. Things like that. So the thing is, block scheduling allows you to think in terms of this block is for this or that. It doesn't mean that you can't have a 1 hour blocks or 2 hour blocks, but it's helpful to have that time because it, for instance, the real important blocks are things like, I'm going to have enough time in this, like for me, content, to be able to really focus and not be distracted on this. Yep. Then afternoons are meetings. I'm not going to be distracted by generating content during that time. I'm going to be fully present with these people.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
So it's allowed me to really make that shift in a way that before I'd be with people and I'm actually mentally processing content I want to do. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, because I'm like, oh, this would be helpful. Well, maybe it's not. I just need to be present. Then on the other hand, in the morning, I turn everything off. Like, I mean, it would take probably you guys doing like smoke signals to get me, right? Blow a bullhorn or something to get me out in my shed. Because I need to be completely disconnected and undistracted to be able to do that. So that's me. I don't know. So clean this up a little bit because I'm hitting time blocking generally and then I'm going into my specifics. But how do I give some handlebars here outside of the instructions here to make this real clear how this works?
I think what people should hear is that this is different for different people. So some people aren't going to be morning people where it's, hey, you got almost four blocks where you got the 5 to 9 and then 9 to the morning. So I think there's a little bit of assessing and seeing like actually what works best for you based on like how you're wired. And then also just like what responsibilities you have. If you're like, I'm a morning person, I can't go to work in the morning, or I can't do this. It's like, well, no, you just have responsibilities. So you kind of have to mesh these two worlds with what are my responsibilities, but also how am I wired and like what actually works best. And this is where we've had really good conversations of like afternoon meetings have actually been really great for me as well. And where mornings being able to work on school stuff, work on admin stuff, like people don't email me or text me at 5 a.m. So I actually really like doing admin stuff really early because I can just like sit down and just crank stuff out. It works really well for me. But afternoons are really great for me with people because I'm like, okay, I got that stuff done. And now I can be really present with people because I know this is the block that I'm in right now. And so I think as you're planning this out, it is meshing those worlds of responsibility and also how are you wired and where do you think best and where do you work best? And
let me now, that's helpful because I want to transition then to, so now we've, that's general block scheduling, kind of an idea. So what's for your life, what are some of these areas? Well, then you start and it walks you through, you can like color code, like you could have 6 or 7 main part, like, hey, this is gray is my work blocks, you know, or purple is my, then you start thinking about your priorities. So there are these realities, like I have work during these times, or I have this or that thing. And sometimes work will overlap with these priorities, sometimes not. But depending on your situation in life, but then you have things like, okay, this is going to be the block. Purple is the block for when I'm going to be this priority of my marriage. And so for instance, let me give you what you just said about your wiring. For years, for Lauren and I, when I had previous steward scripts, because I've done this planning process for years, different iterations of it, we had that time for our marriage Thursday or Friday night in the evening, one of those blocks where it's like from 5 to 9, we get a babysitter or somebody comes over and watches somebody's watching the kids and we're out and we have that whole section so that we're not rushed. We have that time with one another. That means that those days I'm done, I'm cleaned up and ready to walk out the door at 5 o'clock. Okay. Well, here's the thing we found though. Lauren and I are not night people. Okay. So we would go on these dates and I was just kind of this, I was exhausted.
Yeah.
I was not fully engaged. I'm tired. It is not the best time of day for me. So what we, especially right at the end of the week, my weekend's on Thursdays, most of our staff does. So Thursday nights, I was just so exhausted. And what would happen is it just meant it wasn't the best. So I remember I was sitting in a meeting at a coffee shop. It's noon. or 11 a.m. noon, something like that. I'm looking around and I'm realizing these people, because when we're on date nights, I realize all the other couples are tired too. Well, then, like, especially our demographic, like young parents,
yeah,
early 30s, all that. Well, I'm looking around and I'm seeing at 11 a.m. in a coffee shop, everyone's wide awake. I'm seeing like business associates, they're laughing, they're talking, they're having a good time. And I was like, this is a better time. Mm-hmm. So now that's why we moved. Our date, quote unquote, night is now a date night or block, but it's moved to Friday morning. Mm. So I take Fridays off. And so, because I work Sundays. So take Fridays off. Lauren doesn't work on Fridays. And so we drop the kids off at school together, and then we go to the gym for a little bit. We hang out there, and then we go out to eat. We spend from 8:30 until noon, every or 11 a.m. or noon, which different weeks because she has a D group, but they're, we spend that time together, and we are wide awake. We have all the energy. We have fun.
Yeah.
We go for, like, we're talking when we're on treadmills next to each other. We're doing all this, and we have so much more energy.
Yeah.
So we found that's a better time. So we moved that block because it's a big time priority for us. We moved it to that time.
Yeah.
Okay. So on our ideal week, you will see a color coded section that is for that time with Lauren. Hmm. Okay. And it's just a matter of where that goes. So on your week, you have a priority, let's say, of your time with the Lord. Well, okay, I'm going to do an hour block here and here and here, let's say, throughout my week to make sure. Or maybe it is a half an hour block each morning, mm-hmm. right? But I'm going to have that time where I do that. Or it's that reading thing. I want to grow in knowledge. So I'm going to read at night during this time. Or I'm going to spend that time with my spouse. Or I'm going to do this thing with my kids. It doesn't mean some are going to be more every day. Mm-hmm. Some of these, because of what your steps or goals are, some of these are going to be things that once a week, once a month, or once a quarter. We once a quarter for years now, part of one of our early steward script was that we would get that time away when the kids started being born. Mm-hmm. We have since our children, as soon as when they were still nursing, we'd take the infant with us. But we have since our children were born, we have every single semester gotten at least one overnight, and usually about 48 hours minimum away, just us, and the kids stay with someone.
Yeah.
To the extent that now family members ask us when the next one is. Hmm. So, in other words, we have a quarterly kind of block.
Yeah.
So, but with the ideal week, what you want to have is you want to have some kind of a visual. So when you look at this, you see, okay, Sunday mornings are a time where I blocked off in terms of my walk with God. I'm going to be present with God's people at, you yep. know, Sundays.
Yep.
Monday evening is that date night, mm-hmm. or Wednesday night is that community group night because you want to commit to that, or Thursday night is this new thing because you're in your major and you want to be part of that guild or that group to prepare you to go into your career field,
yep.
and so you're going to be part of that thing mm-hmm. during that time. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I think it's like it's helpful that within your ideal week, like there's just going to be concrete things that are just put in there that mm-hmm. like Sunday mornings, for example, our Monday morning staff meetings are a concrete thing that are just, they're in there. Right. And then from there, kind of being able to build out like, okay, these are just the concrete things I have to be at. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there on Sunday morning. This is where our C group falls. And then from there, I think it's helpful to be like, okay, now where might I have the best energy? Where could our date night fit based on some mm-hmm. of those things, stuff like that? I think that's a helpful kind of for as you build that out. What, yep. what's kind of the first thing you get on there? It's like, well, what are the things I just can't move? I think is a yep. good practical.
Yep. And some of those things are like if you're a young parent and you want to invest in your kids, you're going to realize when you're scheduling, I already got a block of time where I got to put them in bed every night. Mm-hmm. That's not going anywhere for a while. You're going to be in that phase for a while. Well, guess what? Invest during that time. Make it like something around the dinner table is when you do your, I'm going to figure out how to lead a little devotional. Mm. I'm going to break out the Bible. I'm going to ask about our day. We have a whole thing where we walk around and ask about each other's day and all that. And I'm going to break out the Bible, and then I'm going to lead a little discussion on that, and depending on how old your kids are, you know, more or less profound. And so you have that time. It's intentional. And then you start transitioning to bedtime. You read some books, and you're praying with your kids. Make your goals fit into that block.
Yep.
You're going to be doing that anyways. So make your goals during that block. So stack these things in that way and don't, you know. So now, yes, there was that. That's not as intensive for me with the age of my kids now, but I have a block on Friday afternoons. You'll see it. It cycles through my three kids when there's a block there for a date time.
Hmm.
And Lauren has that with the kids as well, where we get alone one-on-one with them and we cycle through that. So that's set in our week. The question is just week to week, which kid is it?
Yeah.
Things like that, as you go, you get used to using this and you start thinking this way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start thinking about your schedule that way. And you start thinking about, if I add this to my schedule, that means this thing can't fit. So will I really add it or not? So it's going to help really prioritize. But what we find overall is you actually go, I've got some space here that I can work with.
Yep, yep.
So with that, just to close up on the steward script, and we'll have group discussions about groups and how you walk with others and follow up on this. But after that, there are pages that show a sample steward script. So the idea is that you would just have which domain is it? What's my why statement? That vision statement for it? Those scriptural texts? What are the action steps going to be? And just having that on one page. And there are four pages that you can fill in your steward script. There's a place for journaling where you can fill them in here. And then the idea is just play with this. Write them down and have them somewhere. And then put them somewhere where you can see them. Have your ideal week somewhere you can see it. Have your, so when people are asking you to meet and do things, you're like, actually, okay, these days on the morning, I've opened up to be able to do mentorship because that was one of the things I want to be able to do. And whatnot. And then have these somewhere. Now, at the end, soon, we have developed, it's in beta, several people are using it. We have developed with this, for this reason, a planner.
Yep.
I have for years, I love having organizational tools. I love having planners. I use a hybrid system of both a paper and Google Calendar and Task and whatnot, where it's a basic planner, paper planner, physical, where you can fill in, and at the front, it will have these. So we haven't gone public with that yet, but soon we'll have that, where the idea is when you open up every day, you got at the front end, you've got your disciple, those areas, what are your priorities right now that you're working on, and then it leads you into, you know, your basics of a planner and then to a overall week. And so eventually, that's a tool that we're going to provide so that then it's like that planning of the week is not just kind of this overly business thing, but it's actually thinking about your planning of your week in terms of your discipleship.
Yeah.
And that being the framing of your week. So it kind of brings you back around to that while also going, well, where do I put my task? Because I gotta stop by the post office and mail this stuff and meet with clients and obviously. So where do I put that? So anyways.
Yeah. Well, we're excited to walk through this material. We hope it's really helpful for you guys. We think it's going to be really helpful. And so thank you for joining us on the Discipleship Pathway podcast. Continue to join us as we help you take your next steps in Christ.